Welcome to the Sunday, January 8th, 2017 edition of Waking Up, Freeing Ourselves from Work. It's hard for me to look sometimes at what I shouldn't call but do, the minions. To not see that look, I will take some time, I will drop my eyes. To not see that look on their faces. Though Alice explained it, that look so pleased to be of service, that look so self-satisfied or absent, because we are made to serve a bigger thing. I don't want to see that they've exchanged the grim paternal visage for eternity. One of the key reasons I wrote Waking Up, Freeing Ourselves from Work, which you can download free as a PDF from the Tools or Waking Up pages of the Nascent's website. I stated near the beginning of it, a big part of our problem working up the will to change things is that we don't have our own language and we don't speak podrunk, at least not well. It is, after all, no one's original language. The work of our time is for all of us to begin to distinguish ourselves from the system so we can begin to be people again. And I was referring to the Mayans I quoted at the beginning of chapter 2, the two winds, who said that they were people, not workers. I made up the word podrunk because I wanted a concrete, demystifying, descriptive term to help us see these people and to lose our fear of them. It is a shortened form of the phrase I was using so that we could put our name on, assign a people's term to those who want to push us low so they can feel high, the pitiful, power-drunk few. I made up the phrase because I didn't know then about Karl Popper's The Open Society and Its Enemies, The Spell of Plato. Once I'd read it, I had a more powerful term. More powerful because it captured more explanation, even more truth in it, the tribe of Plato. Last week we said that Alice explains that the infant's thought process is arrested when forced to be obedient. Proudhon explains that the thought process is arrested when it cannot get past the mind-body split that is forced on it, which is, as Alice says, the suppression of spontaneous feelings, aka the death of life. These people are on a search and destroy mission. They search out life so they can kill it. And that Prince came to address this crisis for humanity. In a conversation my son and I had the morning I was writing this, we were thinking about the implications of a condition of chronic fear being imposed on us by a tiny few damaged folk, the global state statesmen. They manufacture insecurity as the broad, general, inescapable condition for our lives and treat us as experimental subjects in a vast social experiment, establish variables within it, and then watch us to study our reactions to what they do. Because we are figuring things out, beings par excellence, we're problem solvers. We're not meant to be stuck ad infinitum in a problem. As Prince says in Gold, there's an ocean of despair. There are people living there. They're unhappy each and every day, but hell is not fashion. So what you trying to say? Really, truly, what are these people who set this mess up trying to say? Prince's work is packed with so much thought that needs to be discussed that will help us disconnect from their repetition compulsion. Because we are figuring things out, beings par excellence, what has been key to their domination has been keeping us busy, keeping us jumping so fast that we don't have time, our own lives, to think. In natural environments, as opposed to this artificial construction the tiny few have forced us to live in a natural social condition, fear almost doesn't exist. And I emphasize normal because I read a while back that black bears were made afraid at the sound of drones flying overhead because the sound and what appeared to be the source are dissociated. It made them shiver uncontrollably. Or if so, fear, it is extremely short-lived because our given by the earth response to a threat when known is fight or flight. The adrenaline flows and we are then absorbed in the solution. There's an illustration of this that my mind always summons when I think about this. A baby boar that is being chased by an adult male lion. It was in a nature program that was called Great Escapes. That baby ran, was stopped by the lion, which the baby confronted, then ran, was stopped. The baby confronted the lion, repeat a couple more times. Finally, the lion held the baby down while the baby looked up at him, snarling with all the force it possessed. The lion stood over it as if contemplating, deciding something. You could almost hear him think, "Oh, forget about it." He then let the baby go. Whatever other factors may have been involved in this story, one thing I think is clear: that baby had no fear. But what when the threat is not known, when something is behaving unnaturally, as for the infant, with a parent that is indifferent to its distress, and in fact causes it, or forces the baby to disown its own feelings? The state, and now it is a global state, a global system of class, wants us to have fear as infants, so that we will eventually have fear of it. It's what they trade in. It's their currency. Here, take the fear, or I'm gonna worry about you, to paraphrase that line in the film Bound that I like so much and use so often. It is this unwanted, imposed load of fear that explains why it takes so long for us to find our true voices, speak in an authentic tongue. We're taught the language of fear as infants, taught to wait for permission, to listen for the voice of authority to tell us what exists, what's legitimate. Training in obedience as infants literally seizes, freezes, paralyzes our bodies. Prince is the body worker we've been waiting for, the body worker like none before. Body worker to the max, he helps us break the hold of conditioned fear by helping our bodies identify and practice a different response to stress, which is fear. His song, Walk, Don't Walk, is an example of this. He knows that reclaiming our bodies is reclaiming our minds and souls. Power knows this too. And so it ever strives to re-stimulate fear and force us to wait for permission. And the strategy, this is the strategy the official left tells us to do when it tells us to fix the state. Let daddy know what's wrong so he can fix it. To wait for permission, permission which will never be given, before we act. The Prince song, walk, don't talk until they tell you to. Don't talk if it's against the rules. Just walk away and be a fool. That's what they want you to do. Yeah, that's what they want you to do. So you gotta walk like you wanna make it. Don't walk like you just can't take it. Go on and walk on any side you like. Don't walk whenever they tell you to, psych. The sun will shine on you one day if you're always walking your way. I am so grateful to Prince for voicing suppressed thoughts and giving us the language we need to articulate our authentic feelings and this and the real condition of our lives, that we are living in this artificial age, completely false, that no one acknowledges as clearly and as consistently as Prince, and gives us the language in which to talk about it. He gives us the language we need to articulate our authentic feelings, the ones we were born with, as opposed to the ones trained in us, made in us. His model of kindness encourages me to try to approach his standard, his unswerving dedication to love, and his reminders about what is truly important to cultivate in ourselves and to hold dear. His reminder that what we're doing now is determining our place in eternity. His wisdom that we are here to recreate ourselves in joy, that we don't belong to states, but to love. Our job is to make ourselves such that they can't make fear live in us. Whatever your solution is to that, I hope you get working on it. And of course, you know I mean as well, psychic fear of parental authority, and know that Prince is here to help us not fear.